so glad you're back tonight. Very special night. Anytime we have the Lord's Supper or communion, it's a very special time, and I'm glad you chose to be here tonight. I do want to remind you of a prayer request that I mentioned this morning. Prairie Copeland's father had a heart attack, a fairly severe heart attack. His name's Ricky Mandenhall, and they're going to be doing open heart surgery on him. And so I told her we would make it a matter of prayer. And then also my renters out there at North Place, and plus neighbors and good friends of mine. Carolyn passed away day before yesterday, and she kind of a sudden deal. She was not in good health, but nonetheless, pray for that family. Wayne is a good friend of mine, and he's lost his wife now, and I'm really hoping we're going to be able to do a graveside service for them tomorrow, and our lady's going to take some food out of the house, and I appreciate that, and just really try to minister to him. I'd love to be able to get him to come to church with us. He's going to be all alone there, and hopefully can minister to him and get him to give us a try. But y'all pray for him, pray for that family. Again, that's tomorrow at 2:00. But we're so glad you're back tonight. It'll be a brief service, but it's a very special service. And so I will go ahead and get us opened up in a word of prayer, and then we'll turn it right back over to David for just a few minutes. Terry Sackett, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Thank you.
before I get started, let me just remind you that on Wednesday, this next week, Wednesday the 24th, and then Wednesday the 31st, the following week, there will be no services here. It'll be time for you to be with your family on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, and we'll get back in the swing of things on Wednesday night next year, okay? And so with that being said, I'll ask you to turn in your Bible over to Luke chapter 22. There's so much that can be said about the Lord's Supper or communion. There's so many different truths that can be taught on it, and I like to, each time we come together, I don't preach a normal sermon that we spend a lot of time, but just some reminders and maybe some clarification for some people to understand what all's involved with the Lord's Supper, and perhaps maybe just kind of refresh your mind a little bit about the truths regarding this. So with that being said, let's go ahead and look at Luke 22 and begin in verse 14. And it said, "And when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. But I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it is the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he said, take this, divide it among yourself. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread, and gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup, after the supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Just a reminder that this was actually the Passover meal that the Lord Jesus was taking with his disciples. It was a Passover celebration. It was a yearly event. It was a commemoration of the most significant event in Israel's history, their deliverance from bondage in Egypt. So throughout the centuries, Jews all over the world would gather once a year. They'd make their pilgrimage to Jerusalem if they could, and they'd make preparations to observe that annual feast. And that's exactly what Jesus has done here with his disciples. He and his disciples have assembled in the upper room, and they're ready to participate in the Passover meal. Only this time, it's going to be different. For centuries, since that night when Israel was delivered, the Exodus began, they were delivered from Egypt, the supper had always been a commemoration of the blood that was shed of those lambs that were slaughtered that night, and it was the unleavened bread was a reminder of, and it's a long story, but things that took place there in those ancient times, okay? And so it's all changed now. This is the last Passover meal, the last sanctioned Passover meal that anybody will ever take. Now, do the Jews observe Passover? Yes, because they don't recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. But God, when he gave the Lord Jesus Christ, the law was abolished. And we live in an age of grace, and he opened up what would be now the Lord's Supper or communion. And this was often referred to, you'll hear it said, called the Last Supper when we read about this. And that's very appropriate in the sense that it was Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples. It was his Last Supper before his death. And then, it most importantly, it was the last necessary Passover supper. So now we call it the Lord's Supper, and it's an ordinance. It's an ordinance of the church. We're commanded to partake of it, and only there is no need for a lamb to be sacrificed now. There's no need for the body of a lamb to be given and slaughtered, if you will, and offered to the Lord. None of that is necessary anymore because Jesus is the Lamb of God. And he was sacrificed once and for all to atone for the sins of the world. As you know that, we preach it around here all the time. It's reminding us of what Jesus has done. And it's purely symbolic, okay? We have to be really cautious about the way we look at the Lord's Supper, because there's some erroneous teaching out there, has been for the centuries. There's always been, man can confuse things, always can. And when he gets away from the direct word of God and begins to try to read things into it, all kinds of things come up. But it was symbolic. Everything about it is symbolic. So the meal that we're commemorating here, when we partake of the bread, it's symbolic of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and it being sacrificed for us, okay? When we partake of the juice, it's symbolic of the blood that he shed upon the cross. There's no need to overthink it. There's no reason to over mystify it and make it to be more than what it actually is. It's this. There's no what's the word I'm looking for? There's no inherent power in these little pieces of bread, or is there in the fruit of the vine, the grape juice? Quite frankly, it was bought at a store, right? Okay, it's the symbol of it that's important, okay? No reason to overthink it. These two elements represent something magnificent and something wonderful, but they're symbols of that, okay? No way, form, or fashion do when you partake of that bread or when you partake of the fruit of the vine that it somehow mystically turns into the body of Christ. And that's taught in some cases. That's not the case at all. Bible never meant for that to be the ideal that God's trying to communicate to us, okay? And then the other side of that, without over mystifying it, we also have to be cautious that we don't minimize it and its importance, and by somehow just thinking, you know, okay, we're eating something, we're drinking something. And that's why, you know, I won't go into a great amount of detail about our approach to the Lord's Supper, but I feel like if it's done really often, then it can become something that's just kind of a habit. Okay, we're doing this, kind of a churchy type thing, and I want it to always be special. And as you guys know, we typically do it here close to Christmas, or we'll do it again in the spring close to Easter, and we don't do it real often, but when we do, we want it to be very, very special, okay? So with that being said, let's go ahead and move in our Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll read this text and a few more comments, and then we'll get right to serving this communion meal, okay? All right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning of verse 23, the Apostle Paul is speaking. He said, when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, verse 24, okay? Let me start in verse 23. I apologize. Paul says, for I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat the bread and drink of the cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup unworthily, now mark that word right there, we'll get back to it in a moment, unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, there's our word again, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many of you are weak and sickly, and many of you sleep. He's speaking of people dead, okay? The sleep simply means they've died, okay? For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And we'll stop right there, and let me just make a couple more comments. When he speaks of partaking of this unworthily, what is he talking about there? He's talking about taking it in a manner that is inappropriate. None of us are ever worthy to do anything. It's only through Christ that we're worthy enough to even approach God's table, okay? But from in the sense of partaking of it in an inappropriate way, if a person is not a born-again believer, then you don't want to approach the Lord's table. That's something between you, only you know, between you and God, your relationship. If you're not a saved individual, a born-again believer, then I would not partake of this. That's why we prefer for people to sit in family units, because if there's some little guys there that don't yet know the Lord Jesus, haven't yet understood what it means to be saved, then the family needs to guide them that they don't partake in this, okay, until they're able to know the Lord Jesus Christ and clearly understand what it's about. Furthermore, you can be a born-again Christian and partake of this in an unworthily manner, in the sense that if we're in rebellion towards God in our life, and somehow God is, we're doing things that we know we shouldn't be doing, God has dealt with us, and we remain in rebellion, we haven't corrected that, we're out of fellowship with God. Am I saying that somehow that makes you a horrible person? No, I'm just saying, look at your own life. If I'm in rebellion, I don't need to partake of this. Doesn't mean I'm a lost man. Doesn't mean I don't belong to God. It means that I'm a man that is out of God's will because I'm in rebellion to Him, okay? And so I would abstain from doing that. And I have abstained from partaking of the Lord's Supper one time in my walk with the Lord over these years. And I knew there were some things that needed to be taken care of, and I hadn't got them resolved, and so I abstained. And we're not going to police this auditorium, who's going to take it and who's not. We're going to allow the adults to deal with the children, and then everybody has to deal with their own relationship with God and their own approach to this supper, okay? So with that being said, the Bible tells us here that let a man examine himself, verse 28. In other words, between you and God, take a look inside and say, hey, am I worthy? Am I doing this in the appropriate way? And you resolve that, okay? We always take just a few moments here, and just a time of prayer, a time that we're not even going to have our musicians play, because they need opportunity to pray as well. But for a person to pray and prepare their heart and mind, and it could be perhaps that you say, hey, I do have some things in my life, and I'm going to confess them right now before God. That's a healthy thing. That's a really healthy thing. And if you want to do that, that's fine. You're welcome to pray at this altar. I'll be praying at the altar. That's just because I choose to. You don't have to, but you're welcome to, okay? And in just a few moments, after a little time of prayer, then I'll close us in prayer, and we'll serve the table, okay? Father, once again, we're so grateful, God, that we can call upon your name through your Son, Jesus. We know that you hear our prayers. We know, Lord, that this is your church. Lord Jesus Christ has purchased this church and with his blood, and he's made us the family of God. And as a family of God, we gather around the communion table today. It's a special time to us, Father. We understand that it reminds us of the work of the Lord Jesus. It reminds us, Lord Jesus, of your giving of yourself upon the cross and your blood being shed to cleanse us of our sins. It's also a reminder that you're coming again someday, Lord. We know, God, that it might not be long. It could be very soon, according to what the way things are shaping up. But even if it's not in our life, we know you're coming. And we anticipate that, and we look forward to that. And we're reminded of that through this ordinance. We ask, God, you'll bless your people. We're grateful, God, to have a great family of God that takes serving you seriously. We're all flawed. We all make so many mistakes. But, Lord, you're gracious and you're forgiving and you're patient with us and you're very merciful to us. Help us, Lord, to walk in a way that's worthy of you, and help us to have our hearts and our minds as we approach this table in such a way that it would just be pleasing to you, that there would just be sweet fellowship with you and us as a family of God. We're so grateful, God, that we live in a country, and on a Sunday night, anytime we want to, for that matter, any night, we can assemble and worship you. And that's a freedom that we have, Lord, that is unique. There's so many places they're not able to do that. So we praise you and thank you for our country. We pray that you'll have mercy on our country. And we lift up Israel to you, Lord, very special people, and we're friends of Israel here at this church. And we trust, Lord God, that you're going to reconcile things one day with your nation and set the record straight with those that hate them. But until then, we pray, Lord, for peace in Jerusalem. And we pray, God, that you'll protect and bless your special people, Israel. We ask now, Father, that we know that there are children in the nursery and there's others that aren't in the auditorium. I pray that though they cannot hear my voice in this lesson, but as they partake of the supper themselves where they are, that you'll bless that as well. Father, thank you for your people being faithful tonight. And we ask, God, as we partake of this, that you'll bless. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I've got some fellows that are going to come help serve. If you guys want to go ahead and come.
you stand with us as we always do, stretch across the aisles, hold each other's hands, and we're going to sing My Jesus, I Love Thee. Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer. So thankful that you come to this world with the intent to go to the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. God, tonight I pray that before we would pillow our head tonight, that we would just spend some time thinking about how blessed we are that we could be saved. I pray that we would think back to that day. I think back to that Thursday night when I asked you to come into my heart and save me as a teenager. Never forget the feeling of being forgiven, of being cleansed, and belonging to you. God, I don't want to ever get over being saved. I don't want to ever get over being a child of the King. God, tonight I pray if there might be one amongst us tonight that has never truly put their faith and their trust in you, Lord, I pray that they would take care of that tonight before they pillow their head. And Lord, I thank you for this church family, and I agree with Brother Chris. It's a wonderful church and wonderful people that make up the Bible Baptist Church. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each family this week as we meet with our immediate families and extended families. God, I pray that there would be peace, and I pray that there would be love. God, I pray that maybe in some of the families that might be here tonight, there might be some animosity. And God, I pray that it would be your love that would, and your forgiveness that would permeate that family, and there would be a new Christmas season. And God, I pray for those that have lost loved ones this year, that this is the first year without a husband or a wife, or maybe a grandmother or a grandfather. And God, I just pray that you'd wrap your arms around them and comfort and strengthen them as they go through this Christmas season. Lord, we just love you. We thank you for all that you do for us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.